something that we like to focus on as the church, the cross. It's where our Savior died. Something that we take, we'll wear it on our t-shirts, we'll put it on our bumpers of our cars, maybe our car windows, wear it around our neck. The cross, we'll wear it, we'll idolize it, we'll decorate with it. It's the cross. Some people even get mad when we don't have a cross. I got a note from somebody saying we don't have a cross in our sanctuary. Hey, you've been here longer than I have. You know what I mean? It's the cross. The cross. It's a device of torture. It's an evil device. The cross. Sometimes we put it up and we look at it and we stare at it and we polish it and we stain it and we look at it and we forget that it wasn't stained with varnish. It was stained with blood. The cross. Such a horrible device that we don't even use it anymore to execute people. In fact, nobody even talks about that until we come around Easter. You know, it's always, how can we kill people humanely? So we give them lethal injection. I mean, I don't think too many states even use the electric chair. I think Kansas just finally got rid of using a noose because it was too inhumane. The cross. Jesus hung there, beaten, naked, for us. In church, we need to focus on the cross. And it should break our hearts that Jesus did only what God could. You know, mercy reigned and grace reigned on this Friday so long ago. And as we come to that hill that's called Calvary, we find there that there were actually three crosses that are talked about, that are recorded, which there was probably more. And there were three men sentenced to die by the Roman government. There were the actions of the two men, one on either side, who deserved to be there. They deserved to die badly that way. But the one in the middle, he was perfect. He was sinless. And there he was on the cross. So either you come to the cross and you can reject the redemption that Jesus offers through the blood, or you can receive that redemption through Jesus dying with the blood. And today, tonight, I want to talk about that. But before I get into that, I want to pray. Father, just thank you for leading us to the cross. You call to us. You show us the way. You mark the way with your footprints, with your blood, with your actions, with your example. And you call to us and you ask us to follow. Father, today is Good Friday because we know what happens on Sunday. But Father, forgive us when we don't think about the cross every day and about the resurrection every day, because in that we have new life. The scripture says that we're buried with you in baptism, and we come to life just as you did. Father, we understand tonight that you had to die to fulfill what the law required. And we thank you for that. Tonight, Father, as we get into your scripture and we look at these three crosses, reveal to us where we are. As we come into this Easter season, reveal to us where we are. Why we are put here at this time. Father, may we follow the purpose that you laid out for us in your scripture. And as you call us to the cross, and we give our life to the cross, we give our life to your purpose and to your will. Father, tonight we thank you for the cross. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bibles tonight, to Luke 23, and we're going to be reading 39 through 43. And we're just going to be talking about those three crosses. And I just want to give you a picture of what Luke has written down for us to see. One of the criminals who was hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and save us." But the others rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." In verse 39, we have the robber, the thief, the criminal. He is on the cross, and it says that he railed on Jesus. He blasphemed him. He cursed him. He made fun of him. He mocked him. He hurled insults. You know why? He viewed the temporary. He knew death wasn't far away. That really, what they had just gone through to get on the cross was worse than probably dying. And he was not sorry. And he was not repentant of what he had done or what he is saying. I'm sure we all know people like that. They're going to do stuff, and they're going to do it their way, and nothing is going to stop them. This man is hanging on a cross. Nothing is going to stop him. He does not care. He is going to go down swinging. He says something very interesting to Jesus. "If you are Christ, then save yourself and save us." I think there was some doubt in that phrase. They're both nailed to pieces of wood. If you are the Christ, if you are the chosen one, the one that was prophesied, the one that God speaks of, you can do this. This man did not understand what was going on. This man was so wrapped up in himself that he didn't care who Jesus was. He was just taking the emphasis off himself for a little bit. Jesus had proclaimed on many occasions that why he came to earth was to save people, to bring people back to the Father, to take care of sin. When speaking to Zacharias, he said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Standing before Pontius Pilate, he said in John 18:37, and Pilate said to him, "So you are the king?" And Jesus answered, "You say I am the king. And for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Now Jesus hangs here on the cross, not on the ground, not in heaven, kind of suspended in between, fulfilling God's redemption plan. Don't think that this was a backup plan. God created the world and then Adam and Eve came in and messed it up. He knew that was going to happen. Jesus was talked about before that. Jesus knew that this was going to happen. Now he hangs there. And this man had every opportunity to be saved, but he had a major problem. Improper focus. This man was focused, like I said earlier, on the temporary instead of the eternal. And it has him in quite a mess. He is a picture of what man with a what's in it for me mindset, the save us idea wants. Someone who is entitled. You know what? Save me, Jesus. I dare you. You know, I deserve it too. I'm hanging on a cross. Save me. I believe that this man could have been saved, but he rejected the Christ. He is the picture of someone living and ultimately dying without hope. And church, we don't hear that enough. We don't hear that enough. That there's a world out here dying and we're too concerned about ourselves. There are people that need to hear the message of the cross of redemption, but we're too concerned about what's going on with our grass or with our carpet or whatever. And you've heard me say that before, but it is true. And as we come to Easter, we shouldn't be thinking about bunny rabbits and eggs and chocolate and all that's nice. We should be thinking about the people that don't know that the tomb was empty on Sunday. This man was being crucified because of his evil deeds. He had faced the earthly consequences for his sins. He was there because it was just. Justice had prevailed. He was executed. And before the day would be over, he would face eternal consequences. Which we all know what that is. We'll just say it's not with the Father for eternity. Jesus came to pay a debt he didn't know because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. You've heard that before. Jesus was there because of this man's sin. My sin, your sin, he was there. Don't worship at the cross of rejection. Instead, let's look at the next cross in verse 42, the cross of reception. This is one of the most probably beautiful stories of salvation in the Bible. You have a man that is there who cried out to Jesus for help. He wasn't necessarily focused on what he had done. I'm sure it was in the back of his mind on what was going to happen, but he started to focus on the eternal. And he cried out, "Save me!" Well, think about me when you're in your kingdom. There's more to this conversation than what we had just read in these few verses. The Gospel of Matthew records something extra. So let's turn to Matthew 27, 42 through 44. And notice this. He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Do you see that? There is more than just those three men hanging there. There is more. There's other people behind that cross of rejection. And they're hurling insults. And this other man is talking to them, saying, "Leave him alone. He is who he says he is." See some confession. I don't know if you can picture that in your mind. You know, you have three crosses with a bunch of other crosses behind them, and you have two guys yelling at each other. One guy's yelling at Jesus, and the other guy's defending Jesus. And Jesus is silent. See, it seems that in the beginning, this man was against Jesus as well. The man defending. But something had changed. I don't know. I'm one of those guys, we talked about it on Sunday, that sits around in my office and asks myself questions. And the question is, what changed this man's heart? Have you ever asked yourself that? Well, I have an idea. Maybe it's more of an opinion. But Luke 23:34 says, Father, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then they cast lots for his garments. I can't prove it fully, but I believe that there's something about this statement that spoke to this robber who's hanging on the cross that actually wants to receive Jesus. Something changed in him when he heard it. You were there one time. You were the robber that was hurling insults, and you heard something. A statement. You read a verse. You heard a song. And it was really Jesus' words calling you out of the pit of despair and showing you where hope is. Because really, the cross is a cross of hope. Right? Think about that. I know exactly where I was sitting. I was sitting in Colorado on a very uncomfortable bench. In the mountains, I heard a speaker and he called. And I don't know if anybody else heard it, but I did. And I went forward. Think about where you were when Jesus spoke to you and called you out. Did you receive him or did you reject him? His life was changed because what Jesus was doing right next to him. And I believe that our lives can be changed because of Jesus' work of redemption done on the cross. But before you experience this, you must come to Jesus just like the man did and see Jesus for who he is. And you know who Jesus is? I'm going to give you the answer. The Son of God. The Son of God. He was 100% God and 100% man. How does that work? I'm going to ask God someday. But my faith says it has to work that way. Because that's how awesome our God is. That's how important the cross is. Which brings us to number 3. The cross of redemption. Luke 23:44-46 says, it was now about the 6th hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the 9th hour, while the sun's light faded. Or the sun's light failed, sorry, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. In John 19:30, what Jesus said when he was right before he died, Jesus cried out, it is finished. And I say that a lot. And you hear a lot of preachers say, Jesus said it was finished. But have we ever answered the question, what is finished? God's plan of redemption. That's what was finished. He had died and he atoned for the sins of the entire world. It's a cross of redemption. See, redemption is Christ's atonement for yours and mine sin, for the whole human race. We were delivered from our sins by the precious blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1:7 says that we have redemption through Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wow, that's good news. That's good news. When Jesus cried, it is finished, he used a word that meant paid in full. It is finished. That Greek word means to end, to complete. It is concluded, to pay fully. This speaks of a debt that has been discharged. You no longer owe it. It's gone, wiped away, paid in full. It is finished. This same word was stamped across bills as they were paid. It is finished. Jesus stamped paid in full on our sin on the cross. That redemption is possible for you and for me. It's there. It happened. It's a true story. But before we are done on this Good Friday, I want to look at something happened. That's something that happened that night. Oswald Chambers said, "All heaven is interested in the cross of Christ. All hell is terribly afraid of it. But men are the only beings who more or less ignore its true meaning." A lot of truth in that. But even before the cross, Jesus had already endured more pain than a normal man could bear. He was scourged, which would have been enough to kill almost anybody. It was commonly believed that the instrument used for this scourging was the cat of nine tails. This was a short whip with metal stones or bone and tied into leather strips. And as they beat him with these instruments of torture, his flesh began to tear. They would beat him and pull. Imagine, if you will, fish hooks being pulled down your flesh. And as they beat him with this instrument of torture, his flesh would tear. Blood would begin to flow and spill all over him, all over the ground. They stripped him of his clothes. They put a scarlet robe on him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They jammed the thorns onto his head. They put a reed in his hand. I always forget about that one. To represent a scepter. Then they blasphemously bowed before him and cried, "Hail the King of the Jews! Look at him now." They spat on him. They plucked his beard. Then they would grab the reed out of his hand and beat him on the head with it. They forced him to carry his cross to the execution site. It is believed that the cross weighed over 150 pounds. Some experts believe that Jesus carried his cross the distance of over two football fields in a weak and tormented, bloody state. Once at the hill of Calvary, the cross was put in the ground and Jesus was thrown onto it. The spikes were approximately 7 inches long and 3/8 of an inch in diameter. These spikes were driven into his wrists and through his feet. They took the cross, lifted it up, that cross beam, lifted it up, put it on top of the other cross, and dropped it. And his body convulsed into pain. And I'm sure some of the blood spurted out, and the flesh was torn, and he hung there. It had been very hard to exhale because the position where the body was nailed, his rib cage was been in a fixed position. Couldn't go in, couldn't go out. He began to suffocate. He was weak. He was dehydrated. He had just been scourged. The beatings, the walk, the cross. He suffered for several hours. And after all things were complete, John 19:30 says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and he died." And church, that is our Good Friday. It's not a story we tell to our kids. It's a story we tell to ourselves every day. Easter to us is not one time a year in the spring. Easter is every day. Why? Because the resurrection matters to us every day. Three crosses. And we're all faced with each one of the crosses. We're either going to reject it, we're going to laugh at it, we're going to mock it, we're going to mock the words that I read tonight, some of the things that happened to him, and say, "My God didn't go through that." And if that's you, I laugh at you because of your ignorance. Because it's a historical fact recorded in secular history. And then you could be the other cross where something in you changes and you begin to worship at the cross of redemption because you understand what had happened. Where are you at tonight? Where are you at tonight? It is finished. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you for Good Friday. It's not something that we could have ever imagined to ask for, but you knew that we need it. And you came and you lived your life here and you did everything right and we still killed you. But you knew that was coming. You knew that before the beginning of time. And you still came. Father, I can imagine you and your son watching history unfold. And you knew the story. It's your story, but I'm sure it still broke your heart when sin entered into the world and just started causing havoc everywhere. Then Jesus was born. The light entered the world. And 33 years was spent well lived. Then at the end of that life, we come to the cross. Father, I ask you to help us have a proper focus tonight. That yeah, we could look at our little lives and yeah, we've been alive for a while and we're doing whatever we're doing, Father, but we need to focus on eternity. And not just our eternity with you, but with the people that we know that don't know you. Father, tonight, as we worship you and as we sing, I ask you just to break our hearts, to reveal in us who we are, and show us what our focus really is. Father, as we sing the words and we look at the cross that's on our stage, we remember what happened on this Friday that we call good, where mercy and where grace stood and death was beaten and new life was given. Father, allow us to survey this wonderful cross, to look into it and see where we are. Father, use us tonight. Break our hearts tonight. To your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.